What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, agents. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. Tonight, we're talking about the Devil Complex and all of the feels that we just had. So many feels.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, welcome back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. We are going to dive deep into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5, Episode 14, The Devil Complex, as we get into the return of Fritz, Deke getting us all the emotions. As he reveals the future, I don't know if that's going to create paradoxes. We'll try to figure that out in this time travel loopy
I've got business. A solution that solves everything.
All right, great. We'll
just letting you know, I've solved it all. Everyone, don't worry about it.
The man with the solutions tonight, it's Jesse Klein.
Hey, everyone. Super excited to be back on the show. You'll see that Tehran isn't here, yet I am somehow still alive. Interesting. Interesting.
So that's what happened in the fight to the death. And joining us this week, once again, Rachel
Goodman.
Goodman. I was like, there's a different good name in my head.
Yeah, Goodman. I'm Rachel Goodman. I'm really excited to be back, especially because of Fritz. This is probably going to be my favorite thing to talk about tonight.
Yes, and this sultry, deep voice is brought to you by WonderCon and shouting. All right.
Shouting. Try it if there's someone far away.
Or there's just really loud music.
Try shouting.
But yeah, let's dive in. Just first reactions off the top. Well, what did you guys think of the Devil Complex?
So I have a lot of theories as to what was going on. I watched the episode twice just so I could see at what point Fritz actually realized what was going on. My biggest theory, though, is that it all comes down to the fact that Fritz could not figure out how to solve this problem, and so he had a mental breakdown.
Okay, so you think it's all based around needing to fix the gravitonium situation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he was so stressed out that finally he just snapped, and that's why It brought out the doctor.
All right. Jesse, what do you think?
I mean, I love this episode. This was a really, really good episode.
Yeah.
Really good direction. A lot of the cinematography was really cool. Like that scene between Fitz and Daisy where they're kind of scared. And the camera never, if you go back and watch it, the camera is never still in that scene. It is always like circling them or like drifting from side to side. It's really exciting. I really enjoyed this episode a lot.
Yeah, this was probably the strongest episode of the season so far. In fact, probably, I'm going to say definitely was the strongest episode of the season.
Every character acted the way they'd been written to act. It was perfect. It was great.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that they brought in the framework again, even though it's not directly, it's indirectly affecting everyone.
Yeah.
And I just, that was my big complaint of the season so far, was that they just kind of let characters kind of slide back in to where they had been. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like they showed the effects enough. So this, I feel like, paid off everything. And I think it's one of my favorite episodes of the entire series.
It was fantastic.
The way that we're now seeing it, that this is affecting Fitz in the real world, where he gets his like Tyler Durden plot arc, but I think it speaks to his character. Like he, again, whether or not the framework was real, he remembers doing all of those things as Fritz,
and he remembers it working.
Yeah.
Like that's the important thing, is because like we hear him tell Gemma that like he started hearing Fritz almost immediately after they left the framework. That Fritz never really left him.
Yeah.
And that he's been hearing him this entire time. And I kind of agree with you where it's like he had to let go of his morality, basically, in order to solve this this problem. And in order to do that, he created Fritz again, basically, so that he could solve this problem, because Fitz was not willing to do the thing that would solve the problem of this nightmare dimension.
I think it was probably like he probably had the solution like right away. Yeah. He is like Fitz is a super smart guy. He would have known that like his brain would have just gone to okay, well, I need to force this gravitonium into a smaller sense. Well, I have a powered friend with the ability to do that, but because he knew probably in that same moment like what that would mean,
he
shut it down. He pushed it to the back of his brain. His subconscious took it over and created a way for him to justify it.
Well, there were a lot of times in the episode where like he would start a sentence where he'd be like, all I need to do is just, and then he wouldn't finish it. And I think it's because he knew what he needed to do, but he didn't want to say it out loud.
Yeah.
I also think that it was playing back on the fact that he had once had that brain injury from the lack of oxygen to his brain. Gemma even brings that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what it was showing is that Fitz, as good Fitz that we know, also was afraid of being weak. And that was his one regret, was everything that happened with his father. And so now he's dealing with that all over again. And it kind of led to this mental breakdown. He even says in the very beginning of the episode, when Gemma and him were talking about one wish that they wanted, he said for an extra day between, I think, Friday and Saturday, which kind of shows that he is working around the clock to try and fix this, you know, problem that they can't solve, which is frustrating enough. But I think that it kind of all goes back to that. And maybe even though his brain has healed from season one, when he had that brain trauma, even though it's healed, even that is still affecting him. And so I think it all kind of goes back to that, the framework, the fact that he is still recovering from all these different things.
I even noted that his stutter was back, which it was like the effect from the injury.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he started stuttering a lot more, which was what his problem was after he got let out of that capsule.
Yeah. He was stuttering, and he was pulling his hair more, and he was acting very confused the way he did in season two.
You know what the problem is? He hasn't been hanging out with Mac as much as he used to.
We need some Mac and Fitz action. Need
some Fitz Mac. Yeah, I mean, Mac is all busy,
getting shot.
Getting shot and helping Yo-Yo. Yeah. But yeah, he's too busy to be like, Fitz, calm down. I'm gonna fix the situation just by being around.
My first note is British food sounds silly, because it starts the episode with Fitz being like, "Boy, I could really go for some Whim Whams right now, and some bleedy blobbies."
I mean, here's the thing: if you really start to think about it, American food is also very, very silly. I'll have some Lucky Charms, and after that, some ho hos and some Twinkies.
Number one, Lucky Charms are Irish. I believe that's canon. I don't apologize to all of our Irish friends. You own that. That's yours.
Yeah, however, Twinkies, ho-hos, ding-dongs, those are all American.
Yeah, and they sound normal. Not like bleedy-blobbies.
Oh, my God.
Sorry across the pond.
I do not apologize. All of these things are sound just dumb. But I'm excited to see everything, like the way that Fitz is handling all of this super science that he's been dealt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to like go back and rewatch and see how they like thread this stuff in there, like the cameras.
Yeah.
And it's network TV, so they have to. They don't let you like figure it out. They make sure to show you exactly what it was. But like the idea that he went back and he like. Without even knowing it, he shut down the cameras.
Yeah.
That would lead Daisy down there.
Now, here's the question. Did he know it or did he not know it? And that's what I'm wondering is Fitz... Okay, so good Fitz is still good, but was there a part of him who knew the whole time what he was doing and he was actually fooling everyone else the whole time? That's what I'm wondering, and that's what I'm waiting to see in the next episode, too, because when I rewatched it, I was looking to see when we saw that recognition in Fitz's face, and it doesn't look like it comes until we get to the scene with Gemma basically telling him, you know, you've split. But I'm wondering if maybe the doctor does have more of a hold on him, and the doctor is actually tricking them all right now.
I mean, the conclusion Fitz comes to is that there is no difference. That Fitz is the doctor,
yeah,
and the doctor is Fitz. That he might have subconsciously been planning that, but after that moment where he realized it, it was all conscious. When he pulled all of that gross sinew out of Daisy while she was crying and telling him not to, that was Fitz. That wasn't Fritz. That was our friend Fitz.
Yeah.
That was the two personalities coming together. But I do think he had a subconscious block up until then that, like, I don't think he knew, like, I don't think he remembered that he shut down the camera.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I think since that moment, we now have a different Fitz than we've had before.
Yeah.
And I think this is, like, this is his final form. This is complete Fitz.
And I agree with that completely. Yeah. I think that it is, as soon as he realized, like, and we knew for a fact he realized, and he had the scalpel in his hand, it's kind of like a melding of the two Fitzes. And I agree, I think it is going to be his final form, and I think that's what now Gemma and Fitz, if they're going to stay together, it's going to be something that she ultimately is going to have to help him with.
If they have to. They have to, because they got to go make a Deke Mama baby.
But here's the question,
Gemma throws up, which might be morning sickness, so she might already be pregnant.
I didn't even think about it like that.
Interesting. So, although the way Deke describes everything, it sounds like they eventually...
This was my thing, is that, okay, remember Yo-Yo saying that she thought that they could break the cycle if she died? Not that she wanted to die, not that she was going to do that, but it sounds like, I was reading this article that basically said, if things stay exactly the same and they don't break the loop, Fitz and Simmons will be fine. But if they break the loop, Fitz and Simmons and Deke may never exist.
Well, that's the interesting thing that, like, let's talk about the time travel paradox that we're dealing with right now. Because right now, our team's goal is to fix the future.
Yes.
But if they do, like, and this is where we just don't know what rules apply to this universe. Back to the Future rules, if they fix the timeline,
then Deke disappears.
Deke will just, like, pop out of existence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that causes it, like, so that's the, like, paradox fixing version of Back to the Future, where it just, like, sort of, you see some of the effects fade away, but the universe doesn't destroy itself.
Yeah.
There is a version of time travel where if you break a time loop, like fixing the world, the universe will just crack open.
Well, or split off. Like, it could just be an alternate time. So now Deke exists. Deke from the first universe we were in exists still, but now we are in a completely separate universe, and that Deke is just a traveler now from that universe.
That's more, I think, what the show is going to do. Yeah. Like, it's because Fitz, there is a Fitz, like, on a Chromacon, like, ship in space somewhere.
The lighthouse.
Was he in the lighthouse? I thought, what's his name? The original Chromacon took him up in his ship.
Did he take him in his ship?
I thought that was the whole thing. Was that they went off? Although now I'm trying to remember.
It was the lighthouse.
Chat, help us out, because I actually don't remember exactly where Fitz's frozen body was kept.
I thought it was
that's
in
part
the
of
lighthouse
my solution.
Too.
Is we take evil Fitz and we swap him with frozen Fitz. And then we send evil Fitz to the future so he can come around and complete the loop. And then we have frozen good Fitz just with us in the present time.
Would evil Fitz actually go and try to help them?
Well, he already we know he does, because he already did.
Interesting.
But the question is, did he know that he was evil Fitz? Because when he tells Gemma that he tells Gemma that he was hearing Fitz, not that he was seeing him at first, and that he was seeing him just more recently.
Okay, Ivan is saying, Atsela H, yes, Fitz was taken into space.
Okay,
so he's not in the bunker with them. He went up in a Chromacon ship. So he's off, separated.
Yeah.
That way he could come back, because he had to come back as the Star Lord.
Yeah.
And again, I like that now we can look back at those episodes and be like, he has Fritz's voice, like the Doctor's voice, in the back of his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of talking to him, being like, you should threaten them. Like, you should talk about how much you're gonna kill people and all this stuff that, like, we saw and we knew it was like a little bit of Fritz coming through, but now it's like a much more sinister backstory that we know there's a literally just like a voice talking to him, like a person, a backseat personality.
Yeah.
Like talking Fitz through all this stuff.
I really appreciate how they weave the A plot and the B plot of this episode together, because I feel like it was the obvious trap for Coulson.
Yeah.
Like they even say, you'd think the government would be better at encoding their phones. Like, to even put that in our brains, like, oh, this is a trap for Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
So all of the viewers are like, oh, this is an obvious trap. This is the big turn of the episode, is that it's going to be Absorbing Man in the front and all of these cool, like, little turns that we all saw coming. But really the big reveal was Fritz being the same as Fitz.
Yeah.
And like that was just really satisfying storytelling where we thought we saw ahead of the writers, but they pulled a switcheroo.
And we did, there was still that reveal, but it was just they were like they distracted us enough that we weren't paying as much attention.
It was an obvious reveal with some cool twists. Yeah. Like seeing the Russian guy,
the superior.
Yeah, superior. Yeah.
MODOK.
Yeah. Future MODOK.
I think we've set our piece on Fitz and Fritz for now. Because let's move over to Hale and the superior coming in. He sounds even more like MODOK. Like they're building him up. Not only did last season he refer to himself as designed only for killing.
Yeah.
He's a head in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
All he needs is a weird little floaty chair with some little tiny arms and legs. He could just be a mini MODOK. I'm fine with that.
And a laser princess tiara.
Yes, exactly. But the way he talks about, like, he rewrote his internal, like, what being the best of humanity means.
Yeah.
Now that he's, like, a robot. Mm-hmm. And the way he talks about saving humanity to go ahead, that sounds like AIM.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds like an AIM mission statement. And AIM was already sort of used in Iron Man 2, but I don't. But that's like whatever. This sounds like they're building a MODOK storyline for this character, and I'm so in.
Yeah, I'm on. If we get a giant head with a laser tiara, that's all. That's my only goal for the Marvel Cinematic Universe and TV universe. Is I want one MODOK appearance, a Taskmaster series, and a MODOK appearance.
Like, here's the thing, like. Taskmaster, yeah. I get why they never put him on S.H.I.E.L.D. because I think a big screen version of that character would be great.
Like, or
I
Netflix.
I think Netflix could be cool, but like I think Taskmaster versus like Deadpool would be a great big screen thing. So I can see like, okay, let's hold that back. Mm-hmm. But they're never gonna do a big screen MODOK. They've done some crazy stuff. MODOK is one that I think like Jeff Loeb and Kevin Feige could sit down in a room and be like, okay, you could have MODOK.
I think they could do a opening credits montage of just like every Avenger beating up a MODOK. Like a different MODOK.
Like that could totally work. Yeah. Like you could throw away MODOK in a stupid like opening sequence where it's like, look what the Avengers have had to deal with since we last saw them. Or you could like let S.H.I.E.L.D. run with this ridiculous version, and that's why I think like yes, it's a more well known character, but I think it's just silly enough that they'll let Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. take it if they want to go there.
I just found it interesting too that it's almost like you can tell that he's going to get more powerful. But right now, like, Coulson even made the comment, why is Hale in charge of you? Like, how did she get to control you? And then it's just kind of interesting, too, what they're doing with her and what they're doing with that whole storyline and the Confederacy.
Yeah.
Does anyone else find it interesting about how they're now bringing Hydra back and how, okay, I'm going to say something that's probably very unpopular, but it almost feels like a time framework 2.0 because of that.
No.
Because of Hydra. Because why is it back again?
Okay. I have the same question.
Oh, I've got an answer.
I let out an audible groan when I heard the word Hydra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jesse, what?
Oh, the reason why Hydra's back is because if you cut one head off, two will come back.
Yeah, but here's my thing is that it just feels, something feels wrong about this. Because number one, if Infinity War is set on Earth, How are they going to quake it? Okay, so we know that they can't quake the Earth because Infinity War at least partially takes place on Earth. So therefore, logically, we know that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to win and they're not going to quake the Earth unless there's somehow some other dimension that they're in right now, either another dimension or they're in some second framework from the first one and they never got out of it. Because there's so many things that are happening that we can't...
I see your logic for it. But it would be incredibly frustrating as a viewer to see, like, oh, all that stuff you saw, none of it mattered because it was in a simulation.
Yeah, yes, I agree. I see the steps that you've taken to get there. But if they actually did that, if they Saint Elsewhere to us, I would be furious.
It'd be disingenuous. Yeah. Like it
ruins every piece of ruins any growth that these characters have had this season. Like if we found out Deke didn't really exist, it would ruin every emotional moment that we've had so far.
I just feel like there's some other twist, though. Even if it's not the framework, there's something else that we don't yet know that's happening that is going to explain more of this.
I also think that if you allow there to be two frameworks, then that's for the rest of the series, however long it goes, then it brings up the question, is there a third framework? Are we truly out of it? I think you've got to cauterize that framework.
I think it's safe that the framework, like we saw it destroyed, it was destroyed. Yeah. Like it's done.
It showed up in the future.
A tiny, cobbled together version of it.
Yeah.
And the beer didn't taste correct.
Yeah.
I mean, although this is a world where Zima is enjoyed by someone, so who knows if it's real?
Deke is single-handedly keeping Zima in business.
Oh man!
What if that's how they found the base? Is they're like, well, just this one part, whatever town they're in, like they just keep on drinking all the Zima.
Yeah, they just trace Zima sales, and that's how they keep finding... How do they keep finding us? Damn it, Deke!
Stop buying Zima!
So Hydra is back.
Yes.
In some form.
That annoys
It's annoying... on the one hand, it is... S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Hydra is like the classic Marvel Universe rivalry. And I get why it's like I get the temptation to continue that going. But that was the only thing I didn't like in this episode was because you can have other evil organizations. You can even make them up of people that were in Hydra, but why do they... Hale even talks about, like, Hydra failed because they had the wrong thing. Like, why is she now Hydra?
I don't hate it. It felt threatening. Like, just her saying, like hearing Hydra mentioned feels like a threat. And, like, we've literally seen these characters just beat back space aliens and travel through time. So to have something with that type of weight behind it and still feel like a credible threat, I think works for the story they're telling. Because I heard Hydra and I was like, oh, man. It's Hydra still, and like I was excited for it.
I get you're not wrong. Like there is weight to those to the words Hail Hydra.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like I want to see them put the legwork into like other not every evil is from the same place, and that's sure. I actually kind of dug the idea that. This is General Hale working for the military as a splintered faction. It could even be a splintered faction if it's not the whole U.S. military. But the idea that this is somebody who's just like working for human establishment, not Hydra, which in this universe has like weird religious cult angles and super science angles. And it's just, but it's this very specific organization. The idea that not. I just am not in love with the idea that every evil comes from one place. I like the idea that we are battling on multiple fronts because the world is very complicated. The world is not one. There's no one bad guy.
Sure, but we had the Ghost Rider story, which was not Hydra, and then we had space, which was not Hydra.
I think
it's like I feel like if they'd been if it had been bad, they would have just gone immediately back into Hydra, and it would have been like, well, that meant nothing. But they let Hydra be dead for a season and a half. Well,
here's my problem with it, is that they've kind of done something like this before with Hydra, where it turned out that Hydra was, they had all these, like, double agents in Agents of, you know, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. So I just don't like the fact that they're doing it again, even though it is the government this time, and now they're saying all these people are part of Hydra. I don't like that they're doing that, because it just doesn't... I mean, on the one hand, I am kind of excited for Hydra. But on the other, I'm kind of like, this has been done before, so why are we doing this again? So...
Well, so we'll get into this a little bit in the... once we hit the predictions area, because there was... there's some stuff that they teased for next week, which definitely opens up into a new frontier for this, for what we're doing with Hydra.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the Confederacy.
Yeah.
Jesse, I don't have any. There's, I don't know. There's no. There's no specific. Like, this is the Confederacy from
except
the comics.
For the Civil War. But other
and
than
not
that,
that's yeah. not the not, Civil
not,
War.
Not Civil War. Not or Civil War Part Two, but the American Civil War,
which yeah, did also happen in the MCU.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Yeah.
The MCU and in the 616 universe.
I think it. Unfortunately, there was a reason for it in every universe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good thing it happened, but still, brother against brother.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, is somehow it was a reference to the actual, like, American Civil War Confederacy.
This is just the South. There's one branch of Hydra that's just the South.
It's that shadowy figure is an animated statue of Robert E. Lee. We will take back our land.
Stonewall Jesus. Jackson.
All right, let's put that to bed right now.
Stonewall Jackson can turn into a Stonewall.
No. But I wonder if the Confederacy is a conglomeration of different groups. Like, yeah. If it is, okay, this is Hydra and this is the Superior as, like, separate entities, although he's being controlled by Hale. But I wonder if it's like if we're going to bring in, I don't know what other factions, because the Marvel Universe is fairly contained in terms of that. Like, but if it's a Confederacy, like, who are they joined with? Like, who is on this team if it's not just Hydra?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's always been Hydra's MO, is to just kind of pool powered people together to do whatever they need. So, like, it could be... What was it, the Watchdogs? Is that what their name was? Like, it could be those guys. Like, it seems like they're trying to put a super team together for their own reasons. So, like, the Confederacy could just be a reference to the fact that they're pooling all of these people together.
Now I'm just picturing that scene in Blazing Saddles with Hedley Lamarr in the line of bad guys.
Absolutely.
I need buggeras, nitwits, hatwits, dimwits. Like, all that. That's all I'm seeing in my head is just, like, the Watchdogs and some Hydra agents and Crusher and
Creel. World War I German soldiers.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
Let's face it, she's pooped.
If somebody wants to fan art that somehow,
please do.
We've never gotten fan art on this podcast. We're open to it.
Yeah.
But that's the one I want to see. With Hedley Lamarr at the front of it. Crossover. But so.
It's Hedley.
They teased the Kree.
Yeah.
As part of, so I guess, yeah. I mean, it could just be the Kree is forming this Confederacy, and they're, like, pulling all these human groups.
Well, there was, like, Predator language behind her when she was in that.
Yeah, what?
Like, it looked like the countdown on Predator's wrist.
It looks like Predator language, or, like, there's a Star Wars language that looks very similar to that.
It did, because just at WonderCon, they had this thing that looked exactly like it with, like, a Stormtrooper, so I'm almost wondering if somehow it's...
they broke the universe, and now...
ABC or ABC and Marvel are together.
It's all Disney.
Someone was wearing a Star Wars shirt like a couple seasons ago. Yeah. So
I mean, they've talked about Star Wars many times.
Yeah.
Like they keep doing the hand chop homage. Like, it's only a matter of time before Vader just shows up in the MCU.
The wrestler.
I don't get that reference, I'm going to be honest.
Sorry, wrestling fans. Vader having open heart surgery soon.
I mean, maybe he had to go through Cassius's
Savy
thing.
I forgot to talk about when we were talking about Fitz and Gemma. the scary the deep fear that came out of the rift was the guy who was I forget his name, but the astronaut who she kind of had a relationship with on the planet.
I'm trying to remember his name.
But he eventually became Hive, and then eventually kind of moved that on to Ward. But it was the guy who was Hive on the planet that she was.
I want to say it was like Brian or something.
William, maybe?
William. Yeah. William. It was Will.
Yeah. So it was Will. It was the astronaut. And then also Fitz. So like. Like these last two relationships that she's had have been two Hydra agents.
And that's the thing too, is before Fritz kind of threw that in there as he was trying to operate on Daisy, he was like, "Hail Hydra," and I didn't catch it the first time, but the second time, if you listen closely, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
So before we even got to that reveal with Hail, it was there.
Oh, now I get her name.
Yeah.
General Hail is Hail. Yeah.
General Hail Hydra. We should have asked what her... I guess we always thought Hail was her last name. It's actually her first name.
So does that mean that it's Ruby Hydra?
Yeah. Ruby Hydra, General Hail Hydra.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Okay, what else is going on in this episode?
I like Crusher Creel. I like that...
Oh, yeah.
I like that he is playing... kind of like he's being a reasonable guy, and he is like, wait, was that an LMD of Daisy that shot the general in the face? Like all this stuff, because like he's not just being a villain, which is what the Russian guy is. Like he's trying to do what he thinks is the right thing, and he just is on the wrong side of it.
Yeah, I've never really seen Creel as like a full-on bad guy. He is
not in this series.
Oh no, yeah, I'm talking specifically about the Shield version. He has leaned towards he's willing to do bad things to get what he wants, but he's not evil. He's not out for blood or anything. He'll keep to himself if you leave him alone.
Yeah,
kind of thing. So. I love the portrayal of him, so I'm excited to see what we do with Creel.
It was cool to see the van, when he stepped out of it, just raise up a foot and a half.
Yeah. We tried moving it, and I didn't see that one coming, I'll be honest. Like, the Creel thing was a great reveal for me.
Well, as soon as she said, like, it's some sort of statue, I was like, oh, Absorbing Man.
Oh, yeah. But that was when they're like, it's going to be Creel.
Yeah.
If you haven't figured it out yet, it's Creel.
Yeah.
But I just assumed she was being driven by one of her not LMDs.
Yeah.
I'm curious, too, what Coulson is going to do, and in that trailer, what's even happening when he's looking into that, whatever it is. But I know that kind of gets into predictions.
Yeah, hold on. We'll hold off on the trailers for predictions, because just in case people don't want to talk about them or hear about them. I totally respect that, because this was especially was a bigger reveal in this trailer in terms of like what's coming ahead. So Daisy has her powers back after this forced surgery.
God, that was disturbing. The forced surgery is the most disturbing thing they've shown. Like, we've seen torture, but to see Daisy, like, crying and saying, like, what are you doing?
I'll never forgive you.
And who are you talking to? And I'll never forgive you.
Yeah, the like, only thing that was, I think, was more disturbing than that on the show was when they dismembered her mother.
Oh.
Yeah.
That one for me was a little worse, harder to watch, but
this was psychologically, because it's her friend who's doing it to her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't understand why. And like, that was really disturbing. And I'm interested to see how there's any redemption for Fitz. Because it just, that's such a horrible thing you could do to a friend.
Yeah. I mean, the question at that point is like, how much can you blame somebody for their own psychotic break?
But
is it a psychotic break though?
That's my question too. And also, sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, okay, so at the very end when Gemma's actually talking to him, he doesn't even try to say sorry, really. It's kind of like he's just accepted that this is who he is, and that he's like, oh, well, I don't deserve their forgiveness. So he's not even trying. And that's the problem, is he has given up. He's accepted that he is Fritz, and that's that. And there might be a good Fitz down there somewhere. There probably definitely is. But I just feel like at this point, it's going to be so hard to work with him on his issues, because he has this whole other life in his head. They all do, but he was the doctor. So
his was the most extreme difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone else had, like, in, like, Mac had, like, an emotionally devastating thing, but he was still Mac the whole time. Yeah. Fitz is the only one who was a totally different person. Like, he has two completely separate personalities that he effectively lived a life with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the brain can't handle that.
Yeah.
Like, just the human brain is not built to have two lifetimes of experiences crammed into it and come out sane on the other side.
Yeah. Especially when you're an evil doctor in the one life. Especially when you're Fitz in the other and you feel guilty for doing bad things. I just feel like he as a character can't handle that, like, understandably. But I think that's kind of what it all comes down to. And that he doesn't... Yeah, he's kind of given up on trying, and he knows that... They're, you know, it kind of goes back to the question, can they forgive him? Well, I don't know. Maybe if he tried, but he doesn't think that they would even, that he deserves their forgiveness to begin with.
And I think Fitz kind of feels like who he was in the framework is who he is.
Yeah.
That the other Fitz is Fritz. And that the real Fitz is the one that's in the framework.
Yeah.
I think he's decided that about himself, because... Fritz is a stronger personality.
Absolutely,
in a sense. Like, not like Fitz is a great person and everything, but Fritz is louder. That voice, like, if the two voices are talking, you're gonna hear Fritz first, because Fritz is gonna be the one who is shouting a much stronger opinion at any given option.
And Fritz saved the day.
Yeah.
Like, he closed the fear dimension once and for all.
Yeah.
Like, he was correct. The science was sound, and it was correct.
It opens up that question of, with any kind of, like, extreme science, like, should you?
Yeah. This is bleeding to our Jessica Jones podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
And that opens up all kinds of questions about morality that... There's no right answer to that question.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, he even said at the very end, well, you know, the thing is, it was the right thing to do. So he is not changing. At this point, he is this person now. And he is kind of like we were saying in the beginning, he is kind of like, well, more Fritz than Fitz, but he's just kind of this new person, and it's like Deke was saying, as he remembers what his mother told him about his grandfather, a very deeply complicated person who carries the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that sounds like this version. This sounds like new Fitz.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how else to describe him, like, because we have Fitz, we have Fritz, now we've got...
Crystal Fitz.
Fritz 2.0? Yeah.
Vanilla Fitz.
This is definitely not vanilla. this is what we've got, and we have to move ahead. And it's just going to be interesting to see how the rest of the team reacts to working regularly with Fritz.
That scene with Gemma was fantastic. And it was...
The Deke Simmons scene.
Yeah. There's something really sweet about a grandson helping his grandmother... like, get through an emotional time, because it's usually, like, a grandma's job to do for a grandson.
Yeah.
So it was, like, this sweet kind of reversal where, like, the grandson is helping his grandma that he never met, which I really enjoyed that scene a lot.
It was great. It was the performances were spot on.
Yeah.
It was fun listening. Like, it was a great, like, just, like, fan moment.
Yeah.
Fun sci-fi moment that, like, because that doesn't happen in real life. But it was fun to see.
Yeah.
I'm now interested to see what Gemma is going to do with that information. Like, how do you move forward knowing that your grandkid, you didn't even know that you had a kid, that you were going to have a kid yet. Just found out that your husband is very emotionally disturbed.
Yeah.
Well...
And you threw up, which I think we're supposed to believe is, like, a stress vomit.
That's what I thought,
too. But could be, like, morning sickness. We have no idea what time it is.
Yeah, that's true. Her sickness doesn't know the time of day.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I don't know how morning sickness works.
No.
All right. Well, before we run out of time, let's move into some predictions. I want to just have a note telling us to do that.
Oh, good timing.
Now, your After Buzz TV prediction.
Okay. So now we're learning that Hydra, mm-hmm. run by General Hale now,
yeah.
wants to team up with S.H.I.E.L.D. mm-hmm. to fight back the Kree. That is apparently the situation that we're in now.
Well, do they say Kree or do they say alien invasion?
I might have assumed Kree. I'd have to go rewatch it. Like,
They say alien invasion, which to me means maybe it could be a tie-in with Infinity War.
And then we're building to Infinity War?
Yeah.
Would they know that that's coming?
Well, what I'm saying is, like, if they find, like, one of their scouts, one of those, like, scouts that comes to Earth to look for the Infinity Stones, like, it could be one of them.
Interesting. Okay, hold on, vamp on that.
All right, I feel like if there's going to be a universal threat, that's why S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra would move together. And, like, I don't know if the Kree represent that enough. And, I mean, they've already established the Kree, so it probably is the Kree, but it would be cool if it was, you know, one of the writers that the Black Order sends out to find the Infinity Stones.
Yeah. I mean, although I'm looking at... I mean, the language that we're seeing on the walls, which I'm, like, looking at again as I look at this, like, preview, is not Kree language. Like, we mm-hmm. know what Kree language yeah. looks like, and that's definitely not it. So it could be other aliens. It could be...
The language of death.
The language of death.
Yeah.
Could be Skrull language for all we know. I don't think it is, because I don't think they're going to introduce something like that with not a lot of time left in the season, not to mention Infinity War on the brink. But I think that's a good call. It very much could be this is the start of their tie-in to Infinity War and their build-up to it. Yeah. I'm in on that theory.
All right.
But you're right. I do not believe they ever say the word Kree in this. They refer to an alien invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I'm curious about. I'm thinking that, okay, so maybe it's not Framework 2.0, but I'm also wondering about the Daisy LMDs, and that maybe, you know how they were saying today, well, not today, in the episode, that when May and Coulson were talking to Hale about how all the body parts kind of, how Daisy shot Talbot. So maybe it's not the real Daisy who does it, but one of the LMDs, except I'm not sure that an LMD, I mean, I'm assuming they would still have her powers.
Wait, an LMD?
An LMD probably wouldn't have her powers.
Yeah, the LMDs don't get the powers. They're not like the, like, Super Skrulls. Yeah.
But it could be, so the only, like, proof that we have that Daisy is destroying the world is that video of her walking away from destroying the world. So that could be an LMD walking away and not Daisy.
Yeah.
Or a Skrull.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be one.
Yeah. Let's start to wind down. Real quick, we don't even need the bug for this, but, like, the people were talking about at the WonderCon panel for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the producers did tease that they are getting ready for, like, they are looking at Infinity War for inspiration. Yeah. Like, they talk, the quote was, if you watch the trailer, this is Jed Whedon,
mm-hmm.
A lot of shit goes down. I'm quoting here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quote. I'm allowed to say it.
A lot of stuff goes down.
These are the kinds of questions we can do everything but answer. So I think what he's basically teasing is, like, they are going to build off of, like he said, the movies blaze a path.
Yeah.
So just the way the Age of Ultron, they didn't, like, necessarily directly tie into Ultron.
Yeah.
In that story. But they did, like, get it to a point where they could throw that helicarrier in there.
Well, and the way the Avengers knew where the base was the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. found that information out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, all it takes is a little thing that, like, Infinity War was already going to do,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, basically it's just, like, playing, like, it's reverse engineering the situation. Like, okay, well, they needed to get that information, so how did they get that information? So we'll write a story where they find that information and give it to them.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that it didn't start with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That started with Age of Ultron, and then the S.H.I.E.L.D. writers have to go in and figure out the best way to incorporate it. And I really loved the way that they did it in the past. So yeah. I'm hoping that they get to do that with Infinity War, that they're allowed to, that they build it that way.
It'd be great.
Yeah. So with that, that's going to be it for this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. I've been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. If you are watching Jessica Jones along with us, stick around at 10 p.m. Pacific time tonight. We're going to be talking about Jessica Jones episodes 10 through 12. And right up until almost to the end of the season, it's getting crazy. I'm going to go watch some of those episodes right now. I'm sure Jesse is too.
Yeah.
Because we'll be there with Amy Cassandra Martinez talking about it later tonight.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. Stay tuned for Jessica Jones. We're going to be talking about it later tonight.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman.
All right, guys. This has been the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.